Good morning. How's everyone doing? We have, I see some coffee, so we're caffeinated. I don't know what's happening. So it looks like I have like a, right? Something. Okay, we're just going to tuck that back in and not pay attention to it. Maybe. Here we go. There, now it's gone. All right. My little microphone growth there. That would have been real fun. Well, good to see you all. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 All right, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our kids. Going to Revolution Kids. Awesome, awesome. Yeah. They're pumped. They're excited. So good to see you guys this morning. In case you didn't know, just want to make you aware so you can be praying. If you didn't know, our youth are going on a summer retreat this week. They're leaving tomorrow morning, be back about noon on Friday. They're going down to Sevierville. Maybe thumbs up. Maybe you send in a youth. Ooh, there you go. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I was going to say like break. No, I'm just kidding. They're sending. We got a group going, so we're going to be praying for Amy, praying for Karen Garner, the saints that are going with the youth. No, that'll be a lot of fun. Time of retreat, time of worship, time of fellowship together. Super pumped for the students that we have going. So just be in prayer for them. All right, this is the last week of my first series, which is... Yeah, you know, there's always beginnings, there's always ends. Some of you are probably like, ooh, glad it's not a five-weeker, you know? Like, if she says, when we gather one more time, I think I might lose it. No, this is going to be the last week, and so I feel like a lot of it kind of builds to this. A lot of it might build to this, the purpose of when we gather together in the name of Christ. And the purpose is for our mission. And so that's what we're going to talk about here this morning, spending this time together. Kind of built the different pieces as we've gone along, kind of try and wrap it together, maybe repeat myself a ton, because that's how we remember, right? Not intentionally. But this morning, I'm going to focus in on when we gather, we have mission and purpose. Maybe purpose kind of first, right? I could spend a whole teaching series on mission and why we do it or how to do it and different theories and approaches. That's really not what this is this morning, so you can take a sigh of relief. This will kind of be a more, maybe zoom out just a little bit, looking in on just one part in Acts where Jesus tells the disciples, "This is my mission for you." We're going to unpack that a bit because I think it can still speak to us today, the church. So I guess I'm saying it won't get too logistical, right, of the how, but this is going to be a little bit more theoretical, I guess. I don't know. We'll just start, okay? And you can take it. We'll decide from there. So when we gather, there is love. When we gather, there is power, which leads to courage, right? The power of the Holy Spirit. We have courage to do hard things. And then there is support and accountability. Right, that's what we talked about last week, that support that comes when we can lean in on one another, share our joys, our sorrows, journey through together. When we gather, there is support and accountability. So this morning is going to be when we gather, there is mission and there is purpose. Okay, I'm learning. I'm going to count to four. As I shared in the first worship time, a growing edge of mine that I'll share with you is patience. And so patience for this, that did not have a delay. I've been told it has a 4-second delay, which when you're up here feels like a very, very long time, but it's not. Growing edge of patience. So the passage that we're going to take a look at this morning is Acts chapter 1. It's verses 6 through 11. I've mentioned this one before because it's right before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's right before that promised gift. But we're going to take a look and kind of unpack that this morning. Okay, so just two slides. We're going to read it together. Are we ready?
Ready.
All right, Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." said these things. As they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." All right, amen. All right, so we're going to take a few minutes here unpacking really verse number 8, okay, and that is the mission that I'm understanding from this, the mission that Jesus gives them. The power of the Holy Spirit's going to come, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When I was thinking about how to kind of organize this, the best way I knew how was to, just like my high school English teacher taught me, okay, you answer the questions who, what, when, where, sometimes why. How? Did I say that one? How? We're not going to answer all of those. Don't worry. But for me, as I was working through this, what is it that this passage can speak to us today? What does it specifically mean to this group of gathered disciples? What can it speak to us today as the church? That was my way that I had kind of formatted it in my head, okay? The reason for this, I want to share this with you. We talk about the gathering of the community. Jesus gathered these disciples together. He taught them as a community. He left from their midst in this community of the 11 that were gathered there. The Spirit was promised to them in community. Jesus makes it clear now here in this passage that the Spirit is going to be working in that community to spread the good news of Jesus Christ that will bring about the reign of God. Okay? So that's why I want to just kind of camp out here for just a minute, because it's in this gathering. It's in this gathering of disciples that we understand the Spirit will come, that they'll preach the good news and bring about the reign of God. All right? So as we work through, the first thing I wanted to come to was when? When is this reign of God you speak of going to happen? That's the first question the disciples ask Jesus, right? They say, "Lord, is now the time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Is now the time?" This is not a dumb question from the disciples. Sometimes we like to give them a hard time. Like, "Oh, you sweet disciples, all that you didn't understand." That's not really fair. This is not a dumb question. Because they had been with Jesus, okay? They saw his miracles. They saw the signs and wonders, right? They now have seen him risen from the dead, walking among them. So they know that he's had victory over death and suffering. They know that he's the Messiah, right? We know this. And the gift of the Holy Spirit was going to be another sign that the reign of God would come, kind of an end of the times kind of sign, that the kingdom would be established finally, right? So this is not a dumb question. Like, all right, is this it? Is this it? And what's Jesus's response? Not for us to know. In essence, he says, don't worry about that. That's not for us to know the day or the time. But the Holy Spirit's going to come, and you will be my witnesses. There is a promised kingdom that is coming. Jesus has said to them, the kingdom of God is at hand. So there's this urgency that they expected it right then. But what they were asking for and what they expected was a physical, temporal, actual kingdom right then, where they actually got to be on the side of those with some power and authority. Right? Because if you think about the disciples, the Jews, they are a people of that's been dispersed, that's been exiled, that's been conquered, that's been ruled over by many different authorities, currently Roman, right? They long for that day of this promised coming kingdom when there will be peace and justice and mercy, yes. But I think also we're not going to suffer like that anymore. We're going to be a little bit on that side, right? That's not what the kingdom of God is about. Totally, right? And I think what Jesus was telling them was, wait, because it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that, right? So there is this promised coming kingdom, The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. So we're promised that, but then God sends the Spirit to establish the church to continue the work of Jesus to bring about that kingdom of God. So they're going to have a role to play in it that they just don't get quite yet, right? And so Jesus says, for now, meanwhile, it's coming, but meanwhile, go and witness, be my disciples, and witness to the coming, to the gospel of Christ. Almost like there's this sense that we got to prepare the way, prepare the way. People have got to know, share the love and message of salvation. That's not for you to worry. Don't worry about the when. Don't worry about the when. Let's just focus on the what. So that's really the question then. Not a when is this going to happen, Lord? When is that final kingdom going to come? When are you going to return? But the what should we do while we wait? What to do in the in-between time, right? Because that's where we are. This in-between of Jesus has ascended into heaven. The kingdom of God is at hand. But we're in between his final return and victory, right? It's that in between, the overlap of the ages, some people like to call it, where we see hints and glimpses of the kingdom of God, right? With the joy and new life and excitement of this life, glimpses of heaven that we can have and experience. We know that. But we also know that there's a lot of suffering and death and sin. That's at work in this world still as well. So in the meantime, as we wait in the overlap, there is work to be done. There is work to be done. Work to be done. And I like to think of it as Jesus now inviting them to continue the work that Jesus began. Okay, continue the work that Jesus began. My best way that I know how to understand that is looking back again to Scripture, right? There are so many places that I could pull from, but when we look at Acts, we know that Luke and Acts were actually written by the same person and probably together, like chapter 1 and 2. And so when I look to Acts to understand a lot of things that are going on, I look to Luke, right? And so what is it, the work that Jesus began that he now invites people to continue? Well, it was that same work that he announced when he began his ministry in Luke chapter 4. Okay, Luke chapter 4. That's when he stood up in his home synagogue, his home temple, and he read from the scroll of Isaiah. He read from the scroll of Isaiah that said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So he stood up and he said, this reading has been fulfilled. This has been fulfilled now in the reading of this, meaning it's me. I'm the one. I've come to do these things. He's anointed me, proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives. And very promptly, they tried to run him out of the place and over a ledge to kill him because they said, who is this man? Who does he think he is? This is Jesus, right? Of Nazareth? Joseph's boy? Really? It's hard to preach in your hometown, right? Now, the first time I ever preached in my home church in Middletown, they did not try to run me out of the place. I was very thankful. This is the mess. This is Jesus right at the beginning of his ministry that says, this is what I've come to do. This is the pattern that we see him do. And now the ministry that Jesus invites the disciples to continue, to be a part of, to proclaim good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, liberty to the captives. I want to share, it was James 1:27, right? Our call to care for the orphans and widows in their distress. All throughout Acts, it says, all right, go preach the good news, remember the poor, remember the poor. So to continue that work that Jesus began for justice and mercy, to care for the outcast and the widow and the orphan, to love your neighbor, right? To seek justice, to stand up for those who are suffering, right? To love at all costs. This is the work that we're called and that the disciples then are called to continue. All right, so the other one, to witness, to continue the work of Jesus Christ, to witness. What does it mean to witness? someone bold and brave. What does it mean to be a witness? Testify. Tell our story?
Testify.
To testify? Testify to what?
The truth.
The truth, okay? Someone else? Yeah, your own experience. To testify to what you know, to what you have seen and experienced, right? So to be a witness, then, specifically to Jesus, is to just witness to the power of God that you've seen at work in your own life, right? And it can be in your own life, in your church, in your community, in your family. I think we overcomplicate this sometimes. We worry about what we're going to say, or, you know, we put big words like evangelism and you know, going to the least, you know, going and preaching and sharing the good news, and we worry about what we're going to say and what we're going to teach. But all Jesus says is, be my witness. Be my witness. Because these disciples have seen Jesus. They know Jesus. They've seen his miracles. They've experienced that transformation for themselves. They know of the power of God that has shown up. So they just tell about that. Tell about the grace and the freedom and the power that they have experienced themselves. And that's all we're called to do as well. Sharing that love of Jesus is sharing, man, this wonderful, awesome relationship and freedom that I have found with people that you know are in need of that, right? Because of your own experience, to be God's witness, to be God's witness. All right, so that's the when and the what, right? Now we're going to jump to the where. We're going to jump to the where. Specifically, in this passage that we read, Jesus says, go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is actually a pretty good overview for how the gospel and the church will spread throughout Acts. They do follow Jesus's command in this way, right? They start in Jerusalem. They start in Jerusalem. We visited Peter and John right after the Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The first place they went was the temple. They started talking about Jesus. And what happened? They got thrown in prison, right? So they went right to Jerusalem. And then throughout the rest of the chapters of Acts, we see them move throughout the region and then to the end of the known world for them at that time, right? All right, so I have a map here I want to share with you. Yay, it's going to go. All right, so this is in biblical times, the time that we're talking about here. You can see, I'm sorry it's not a little bit bigger, but you can see the regions here. We have Judea, Samaria, Galilee. Judea here, Jerusalem is in that lower region there. So they went to Jerusalem first. That is their center of religious life, their home, where they are familiar with a provocative message. But they started where they were. They started right where they were. And then they spread to the rest of the region, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The next thing I want to talk about is the how. Now you might be thinking, there's not really some instructions here, Rachel, on how Jesus says to go and be witnesses, how. But I think the inclusion of the region of Samaria in this section, in this part, is telling for us of the how we are supposed to witness. Anyone know the significance of Samaria or Samaritans in your own study? Okay, the people that were considered unclean or dirty, yep. Yeah, weren't supposed to have any dealings with them at all. Do y'all know why? Whoa, woof. No, you're right. He said they were muggles. Is that what you said? Mudbloods. Okay, that's more correct, yeah. Because of the muggles, right? Yeah, in essence, yes. They were distant descendants, distant relatives of Israelites from the northern tribes. They pretty much split north and south, south Judah. That would be the kingdom of Israel that we would think of. So these would have been kind of descendants back thinking before the Babylonian exile, okay? they kind of considered Samaritans, they kind of considered themselves to be the purest because they were the ones that had the pure and undefiled place of worship and understanding of ancient Israel prior to the exile. Because then the exile happened, they went to Babylon, and they came back, and that's when they built the temple in Jerusalem. But the folks before that, the folks that continued and became known as the Samaritans, they would have said, no, we're supposed to be worshiping in Mount Gerizim, or Gerizim, right? That's where Joshua entered the land of Canaan, and that's where they first entered the promised land, and that's the place that we're supposed to be worshiping. So if you remember the story where Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman at the well, that's what they talk about. And she asks him, all right, so, you know, clearly you're a prophet. You know all about my personal life. So where is the proper place to worship? Because between the Samaritans and the Jews, that was the question and debate of the day. Okay, that was the argument. That was they had fought over this. They had warred over this. They had killed over this. They hated each other. They both kind of thought that they had the more holy, right place to worship. But that's really the rub. And yes, they had kind of mixed with the Canaanites, and yeah. That was their main disagreement, though, was the proper place to worship. And so the Israelites saw them as religiously offensive, as unclean, as unwelcome. You were exactly right, not to be dealt with at all. Not to be dealt with at all. And in fact, if you remember, what I was told at one point when I learned about this is that if you think about, you know, where the region of Samaria is, if you were, say, a Jew living in Galilee, if you were in Nazareth and you were trying to get to the temple in Jerusalem to worship, especially your annual pilgrimage, right? They would go all the way. I mean, it would make more sense to go straight through. That would be faster. But what they did in order to avoid entering this region altogether was go around the edge, adding days to their journey so they didn't have to enter that land at all. That's how deep this hatred and opposition ran, right? So when I hear Jesus say, go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, including that, I hear go, and oh yeah, be my witness, even with those people that you don't like, even with those people that you can't stand to have a conversation with, even among those that you don't even want to associate with, folks that you might think are less than, or because they're not, right? All people, even them, go. You might be more familiar with the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? Another time that we hear about Samaria. It's in Luke chapter 10, where a lawyer stands before Jesus and he says, how will I inherit the kingdom of God? How will I inherit the kingdom? And Jesus says, well, what does the law say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. There's different things. There's like four of them, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. So do these things and you will inherit the kingdom. That was Jesus's response. The law can be summed up in this way. Love your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer then responds, okay, well then who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus then tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, which had to have been incredibly shocking and offensive for all the Jewish people sitting there, right? That this Jewish rabbi would tell me who my neighbor is, because we're all comfortable with saying, oh, our neighbor is that heroic person that helps someone in need, right? So if the story were like someone fell on the road and was robbed and they needed help and a Levite came along and helped him. Like everyone would have been comfortable and like, oh, even if that person that had fallen on the road had been Samaritan, right? They would have been comfortable with that telling, right? Because it made the Israelite the hero. And that would have still been a stretch, but superior, they know the proper place to worship, you know, But Jesus takes it even a step farther and makes the one who is outcast and hated and rejected, makes the Samaritan the hero, the exemplar, the one who is the good neighbor. Which is still a challenge, I think, to us today, right? When we think of what it means to actually love our neighbor as ourselves. Then how should we witness? This is answering the question of how, by being led by the ethic of love. Even to Samaria, even to the places that we want to avoid, to the people that we don't want to be associated with, all people, right? Being led by the ethic of love. All right, and then finally, we're going to ask the question of who. Who does this apply to? Well, of course, duh, it's the 11 that are there, right? The 11 disciples right then, right? They're the ones that are standing here and witnessing this. That is who this applies to. But we understand now, of course, as we see throughout the last thousands of years, the gospel message of Jesus Christ spread, the gathered church continues to grow. We are now included in this great mission. You and I, followers of the way, people that are seeking to follow the way of Jesus Christ and how he lived his life, we now hear this as we too are taking up this mantle to continue the work of Jesus Christ in the world, to care for others, to love and serve, to go to the ends of the earth as witnesses, right? As witnesses. So the when is still now, it's still this sense of urgency in the in-between times. We're still waiting for Christ to return, right? The when is still now. The who is you and I, it includes us. And the where, well, that's what we're going to talk a little bit more about. But I think what this scripture can speak to us here today, this morning, is the where is anywhere that we might feel called or passionate, right? The where is to start where you are, Jerusalem, right here at your home church. You start here and move out from there. Not all of us might be called, you know, to the whole region or the whole nation or to the mission field, right? But collectively as a body of Christ, we understand that we will have a local, a regional, and a global impact. That's what that means, right? We understand together, collectively, that we will love our neighbor as ourselves, wherever we are, whoever we encounter, loving all neighbors near and far, the ones that look like us, the ones that don't. Because I believe that that kind of love begins with recognizing the humanity of all. So even when it's going to different parts of town or different neighborhoods, working with people that might have, that might be under-resourced areas, we go with the humility and the perspective of working with and not for, of preserving dignity, of empowering, right? Of seeing the humanity of having compassion for one another, right? Loving our neighbors, no matter where they're from, no matter their age or their status or their income, their livelihood, we're led by that ethic of love first. And that's how today, even now, we can be witnesses, no matter where we are. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but we can be witnesses to the love and message of Jesus Christ and be that witness of sharing about our own experience, but really that message of salvation. All right, so that was the who, what, when, how, where, sometimes why, whatever order, right? Okay, I want to pause here for a second, and I want to hear from you. When we think about this kind of when we gather together, there is purpose, because God gives us a task to do, right? That God chooses to work with us to bring about the salvation and reign of God, right, that we can pick up that work, be a part of building the kingdom here, that there is work to be done. That's exciting, and that's what it means to be church here together. And so I want to pause here for a moment and hear from you of ways that you feel like we as a church have done that well. We think of mission and outreach. Throw out some ways that you think we have done that really well, that we have been witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Family Scholar House. Went there on Monday. It was awesome. Yeah. Salon. Mm-hmm.
Celebrate recovery.
So VBS, Vacation Bible School. I think Salon, of course, related to Fourth Avenue Ministries, right? And some feeding programs that we've been a part of there. But Salon takes it even farther into building those relationships, right? What else? Yep, yep. Burrito Riders. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Homeless outreach. We also have a global impact as well in our pocket, right? Collective body of Christ. We have a global impact of our global partners in Germany and in the Dominican Republic, right? Juan and Heather right here among us, right, from Go Ministries. Yeah. I love that this is at the core of who we are as a church, right? I've skipped a lot. It's all right. Love your neighbor as yourself. There, who? Here we are. Okay. I love that this is at the core of who we are as a church. We know our mission statement, right? Joining Jesus in the revolution of transforming lives through teaching and serving. You understand this already. It's part of our DNA that we're joining Jesus in the revolution. That revolution that Christ began, right? And then invited his disciples to carry on. The Holy Spirit's going to come and give you power, and you will go, and you will continue the work that I've started, right? The transformation of the world, the revolution to redeem all of creation, right? Joining Jesus in that revolution. And I love the three that we understand as reveal, resurrect, release, right? Oop. Have it written down. I know it. Helping others see Jesus, revealing Jesus, helping others see who Jesus is, learning to live the way of Jesus, that resurrection, right? Learning and growing and serving together, right? We're learning to live the way of Jesus. That's discipleship in our home groups, in our studies, in the programs that we have here at the church, right? Resurrect, reveal, resurrect, and then release. Right? Release. Creating measurable and sustainable change. That idea that as we are released as part of God's revolution into the world, that we are about impacting our community and world for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Right? Of not just doing things, but expecting a change. Right? Expecting an impact. I love that just idea of all of us just being released. You know, that's really neat to me. It's at the core of who we are. Partnering with the community to meet the needs of our community. Right here in Louisville, in our city, in our world, in our nation, for the love and transformation of Christ. And so, yes, some of the things that you all mentioned, all of those wonderful ministries that accomplish many of those things. But when we think of this as release and about being a revolution that never ends until that day that Jesus returns, right? The list can go on and on. The list of things that we do individually as home groups, as a church, of the impact that we can have, it can be endless. So I really like that idea of release. Because part of what it is when we gather together, that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and that we then go, is that we can be the presence, carrying that Spirit of God with us, right? As if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, right? As sanctuaries of the divine in that sense, then every single place we go, we carry that Spirit and love with us, lighting up that darkness. Right? You've heard it said, being Christ's hands and feet, continuing that work of Christ. But to think about all of the different spaces and areas that we collectively enter during a week, right? Our homes, our schools, our places of work, in between, those third spaces, in between our activities, all of those different places that after we gather here, we're empowered, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we experience that love, and then we're released out. To think about the impact that the Spirit of God can have simply by our presence, simply by the love that we share through relationships that we're building. When I was in seminary, I served as a hospital chaplain for a short amount of time. A really incredibly beautiful job, very challenging, especially working at a trauma hospital, where there were points in the month where you were the only chaplain in the whole place on call. So, right, when anything happens, your pager's going off. And I remember a specific day of being paged to minister and to sit with a man who had just lost his wife. And it was very unexpected. She was in there for a routine thing, and a very tragic thing. And I sat with him. And you know what? I was new, and you kind of don't really know, like, oh, like, what do I do? Or, like, how long should I stay here? What does he need? How can I help? But that was when I learned just the power of presence. And I just sat there with him. And we talked. And we talked about what was happening next. And I waited. And there was a period of time where I was going to be needed to sign some paperwork. But that was going to be a couple hours from that point. And so a lot of people might have left. If I had been maybe more aware, I might have. But I didn't. And I just decided to stay. And I even asked him, I said, how can I help you now? You know, gathering your stuff, helping you get to your next place. And he said this. He said, I asked him if he wanted me to stay. And he said, yes, please stay. Because when you are here, I feel like Jesus is here as well. That has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with the fact that I was working to be a pastor. I'm not holier than anyone else in this room. There's nothing special about me in that sense. I had the Spirit of Christ and presence of Christ within me as a follower of Jesus Christ, which I've been from as long as I can remember. And so when I walked into that hospital room, the hospital room of a non-believer who was struggling after the loss of his wife and had questions and he was angry and he wanted to be comforted, he said, yes, please stay. Because I sense the presence and power of Christ in this place. You are a vessel of the divine. You are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the light of Christ, which means every single place you enter and go can be an opportunity for you to share that love as we love our neighbor as ourselves. And if you think of collectively all of the spaces that we might enter in a week, that reach goes so far beyond me, as it should. Ask Matt, my week, I come here a lot, I've learned, right? Y'all are out there in the world. I go out when I can, right? And I'm loving it. But my job is here with you and building these relationships so that we can all then be released. If it all depended on me, we wouldn't get very far. We wouldn't get very far. But us together, you all living it, doing it, going. So friends, what I'm talking about here is not just a service event that you add to your list of things to do for the month, right? What I'm talking about here is a way of life where you recognize yourself as part of the kingdom of God that is transforming and being revealed and coming here to earth. And you being an agent of that grace, an agent of that change that can be a part of that revolution. That is a whole lifestyle. That is a whole way of seeing and living. That's a whole way of seeing yourself and your purpose. Right here in this time and place, right? So starting where we are in Jerusalem, reaching out to our region, right? Reaching to the ends of the earth because this has no limit. This has no limit. What I'm talking about here is a way of life where we offer what we have to the furtherance of God's kingdom here. And not just money, but also time and also gifts and service and witness. To witness about your personal experience of the salvation of Jesus Christ, how you have been set free, how you were once that captive and now you're set free. And we share that witness led by an ethic of love. Man, there is no limit to the opportunities that we might have. So if you're sitting here this morning and going, oh, I don't know the what, you know, I don't feel like I have anything to offer. First of all, every single one of you has the presence of God that you carry and can offer, of that comfort and that love. Secondly, you do have something, a gift, a service, something that you can use to serve your neighbor. I shared this story in the first service, and so I'll put him on the spot again. My husband, Matt, went and got his hair cut yesterday. He didn't know that I shared this story, and so after the fifth person said, "Nice haircut," he's like, "Something's going on, right? What's happening?" Because he got a haircut, and I've been on him to get a haircut. "When you get your haircut, get your haircut." Spoiler alert, I'm his normal barber, right? I usually just do it. Life is a little busy, and between the baby and moving, we just hadn't done it. So yesterday, I was like, "You just go get your haircut." Well, he went to Great Clips right by our house. You can just walk right on in, right? And he came home less than, you know, an hour later, and he said, "Well, I might have some work for you to do." I'm like, "What? You're just supposed to get your hair cut. What did you do? Well, he got to talking to the man cutting his hair and got to talking about church and where they both go to church. And this man was a man of faith. And so then together they started talking about, somehow I'm sure it came up naturally in conversation, he's pretty fun to talk to, that they like to serve, right? And opportunities that they might have in Louisville to serve and what maybe our churches do. It's very, very proud. Talking about Revolution already, right? That's great. And so somehow it came up that this man, he's like, "You know, I am a barber. This is what I know." So he became overwhelmed one day with thinking about all of the need that we had right here in our own city and thinking about how there were maybe different communities that had different resources, that some were able to get a haircut and some were not. If you think about that, many folks might not have the extra $15 a month to have that kind of care, to have that kind of, I see that as dignity, right? Of grooming, of making yourself feel good and presentable and professional. And specifically, this man's heart was hurting for the unhoused community here in Louisville. And how that's one of the many things that just doesn't happen, right? Doesn't happen. Maybe a shower, probably not, but definitely not a haircut. And so he said he just packed up his stuff one day and went out to an area that he knows a lot of folks in the unhoused community were together, and he offered haircuts. Because that's what he knew. He didn't have a lot of money. He didn't have a lot of anything great to teach, right? He didn't have a lot of time even, but that's what he had and that's what he knew, and so that's what he gave. Each and every single one of you have something like that to give. That can be a way that you break down barriers and build relationships to see the dignity in one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, to be a part of the revolution of the kingdom of God right here in Louisville. We might not all be called overseas, right? Some of us are, and we partner with those that are. But this is a collective effort to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to receive that power so that we might witness to Christ in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. One of us individually, we can't reach the ends of the earth. But together, the impact that we have as we gather together for that purpose and mission, that has no limit. And so I want you to be thinking, I'm going to challenge you all, especially in the renovation groups as they start up again in the fall. Okay, maybe you're thinking, "Oh, there is something that we serve." Some of you might already be plugged in at Family Scholar House and Salon and Heat and doing some awesome stuff. I think many of us might not be too, and that's okay. That's what we're here for together. So we're going to be challenging the renovation groups to choose one thing that they do to engage in this kind of mission and outreach. Maybe it's a monthly thing. Maybe it's a every other month kind of thing. Maybe you're already doing something that we don't know about it, so tell us so we can celebrate and resource, right? Help, encourage. I'm going to be challenging you. We'll provide a list of some different opportunities, some old, some new, of things that you all can be doing individually, but especially we're encouraging as a renovation house group, of ways that you might get plugged in and engaged so that you might be a witness. No matter where you are, you can be a witness. But also keep thinking individually as well. Because then again, in January, I hope you guys know that I'm so excited about this shift of this model where it's not just about us, we as pastors and staff providing, opportunities, but it's also about you doing what you're passionate about and what you have to give, and we get behind you and love and support you, right? And so they're applying for those grants in that sense that we've done the past 6 months, right? We'll revisit that again as a release team. But the opportunity that if you have a passion, if you have something individually that you really want to do, right? If you are a barber and you want to go down, right, and start offering those haircuts, just as that example, of how can we rally behind you and give you the support that you need? So it's going to be a challenge. Begin asking God where you might be used, how you might be used to love your neighbor, but what you might be able to offer to serve your neighbor that's in need. We're going to come back to that, but I'll give you time, okay? I'm going to give you time to hear that challenge, to begin asking those questions, to ask, Lord, what is it that I have that I can use to serve my neighbor? And be on the lookout, because as soon as you start praying that prayer, the opportunities that God will put in your path are going to blow you away. It's going to be an amazing thing as we are released, literally, released out into our community and out into our world. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for who you are, for how you are a God who invites us in and welcomes us, but then invites us to be a part of this very important, very precious, amazing, life-altering work of witnessing to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God, we thank you that you have given us the power of the Holy Spirit, that when we gather together, we can be empowered, we can be encouraged, so that then we might be released to go into your world, to places without hope, to those who are lost, to those who feel like unworthy of love in every way, and we might be your real presence there, that we might be your hands and your feet, bringing your spirit with us in every space that we enter. Because God, we know that in the in-between of this, the world is hurting and the world is in need of your comfort and of your love. So Lord, would you continue to give us the power and the courage we need to be those people, to be your ambassadors, to be your agents of grace, that people might look to us and know us and see your glory, and see your mercy, and see your forgiveness. Lord, may we reflect that in all that we do. We love you, Lord, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to be at work among us here as we continue to worship. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Excited that the next series coming up. You will not hear me say when we gather again. Well, maybe, but not for a while, right? Not for a while. So Summer Drive-In is our next series. Until we gather again, then I'll say it again. It's our next series. Hope you're going to be here. I'm going to be hearing from some other folks that you are used to hearing as well. Some other pastors and folks on staff sharing one of our favorite movies, maybe. There might be popcorn. There might not be. You should come and find out if there will be. No, looking forward to the next series. Looking forward to worshiping as we kind of round out the rest of the summer together. Something in that last song, or two songs before, stuck out to me that I'd never noticed before. You can sing a song over and over again and hear something different. What was the bear your cross as you wait for your crown? Tell the world of the treasure you found. And in the in-between, if we know God's kingdom is coming, and we long for that, we wait for that, but there's work to be done. So bear your cross while you wait for that crown and tell the world of the treasure you found. You are released now, my friends. So go and be the revolution.